to what? Can I compare the kingdom of God, the reign of God? This is the question Jesus asked. What is the reign of God like? How does the reign of God come about? What is our role in helping the reign of God emerge in the life of this planet? If you had asked Jesus that question in the year 30, assuming he didn't just answer by telling you a parable, Jesus might have told you his understanding of the reign of God. If you had asked Paul that question 20 years later, you would have gotten a different point of view. And if you had asked Mark that question 20 years after Paul, Mark would have said something different again. And if you had asked Luke 20 years after Mark in the year 90, what is the meaning of the reign of God? How does it come about? Luke would have had a very different answer from any of the other three. 20 years is not a long period of time, but marked changes can happen in 20 years that totally change our understanding of the world we live in, and therefore of what the reign of God means and our understanding of how it comes about. Things can change very quickly. I remember in the year 1957, I was 6 years old then. And in October of that year, I was 6.5 years old. And I remember one evening in October of that year, going out into the backyard with my dad and looking up at the sky and seeing this tiny white light slowly moving across the heavens. And that white light up in the sky was Sputnik. Sputnik was the first satellite that human beings ever launched into space. It was launched by the Soviet Union, and it was a big event. And you could read in the newspaper when it would be able to be seen, and we went outside and we saw it. And this began the space age. This began the human exploration of space. Life was different after October of 57 than before it. I remember a day 12 years after that. In the summer of 1969, I had graduated from high school. I was about to go to college, and I spent 6 weeks that summer on a trip to France, and I was studying at the University of Grenoble for 4 weeks, taking a course in French. And I remember one, I forget whether it was the afternoon or evening, going into the student lounge and watching on the television set an incredible image. The image of two people climbing down a ladder and stepping onto the surface of the moon. And then I heard at that historic occasion the voice of President Nixon talking to the astronauts on the moon, except you couldn't hear what Nixon was saying there because he was being dubbed over by the French translation, which I thought is kind of appropriate thinking back on it. And life continues to change. Now there are thousands of satellites in the sky. Like there's the Hubble Space Telescope, which has been up there 15 years, a space telescope that enables us to look hundreds of light years, hundreds or thousands of light years into the solar system and see astronomical sites and events that have totally changed our understanding of the universe. There are satellites up there that enable some of you perhaps to have little satellite dishes on your houses that bring hundreds of channels of so-called entertainment into your homes. Junk, junk, and more junk. And there are even satellites up there that if you've got it in your car, or you can buy a little box, you can sit it on the dashboard, and it's got a little screen with a map on it, and there are receivers in that little box that can pick up signals sent from satellites that will tell you exactly where your car is on the map, and it'll follow it on the screen, and you can even type in the address of where you want to go, and it will give you step-by-step instructions and speak them out. Turn right in 50 feet. You went past the... Anyway, I think it'll even politely tell you to turn around and go back. but life keeps changing. You know, now, last year, we even have two little robotic instruments rolling around the surface of Mars on opposite sides of the planet that have actually done experiments, dug into the Martian soil, analyzed the soil, sent back pictures, uncovered evidence of what once was running water on the surface of Mars, and raising the possibility that there once was life on Mars. Again, every step along the way, changing the way we understand our world and our place in it. To what can we compare the reign of God? We don't know for sure what Jesus understood by the reign of God. We do know that in the early years of the first century, Israel was held in an apocalyptic fervor because the people of Israel were angry over the fact that their country was occupied by a foreign imperial force, the Roman Empire. And the people of Israel believed that God had given them their land and God wanted them to rule their land and God wanted God's own law to be implemented. That they believed that God wanted a theocracy and they believed that God was going to raise up a Messiah and that Messiah was going to gather an army of the faithful and that army of the faithful was going to be able to successfully throw out the Romans because God was going to step in from outside of human history and change the course of events. And some wonder whether Jesus had that intention. Obviously, this wasn't the effect of Jesus' ministry. When you get to the year 70, when Mark was writing his gospel, you were in the midst of an apocalyptic outbreaking, a revolt. In the year 66, the Zealots took control in Israel. They took control in the city of Jerusalem. And actually, for 4 years, the Zealots had control of the city of Jerusalem and were counting on God to step in and help them when the Romans finally made their assault. But of course, that isn't what happened. In the year 70, the Romans assaulted the city and they killed thousands of people and a fire was set and the entire city was leveled and the temple. Nothing was left standing of that temple except the Western Wall, which is now the Wailing Wall. And the temple was never rebuilt. The only thing that's there now is the Dome of the Rock, the mosque. And this, I think, put an end for many people to the idea that God was going to step in from the outside and bring about God's reign. So that by the time you get to the Gospel of Luke, written in the year 90, Luke is operating out of a very different sense of how the reign of God comes about. The parable that we read today, the parable of the woman who took yeast and mixed it into a bunch of flour and made bread, that parable is not found in the Gospel of Mark. Luke began to get the idea that God didn't work from outside of history. God worked within history. The reign of God wasn't going to come from outside of history. The reign of God is going to happen as we work faithfully within history. So Luke tells these two parables of a man who took a mustard seed and planted it in his garden, and that mustard seed grew and became a large bush that put out branches that could shelter the birds of the air. That tree, that bush, didn't grow in a day, didn't grow in a week, didn't grow in a year. But over time, it grew and it provided shelter. And the woman baking bread, mixing yeast into a dough, into a lump of dough, that dough does not instantly rise. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes nurturing it, giving it heat and moisture. But over time, the dough rises. The loaf is leavened and bread can be baked. To what shall we compare the reign of God? There actually are people today who believe in an apocalyptic worldview. There are people today, political leaders apparently, who believe that we don't need to pay attention to the environmental problems of the planet because Jesus is going to come back and fix it all, and why waste the energy? Well, that didn't work in the first century. It hasn't worked all the way through history. That isn't what I believe about today. History does not change in a moment. The reign of God does not come in an instant. It comes over a long period of time as the faithful plant their seeds and mix in their yeast and work the soil and nurture the loaf. I think we can understand that in our own experience. A little more than a year ago, in February of 2004, the winter of love, Gavin Newsom took a brave, courageous, prophetic step and instructed the city clerk of San Francisco to issue marriage licenses to whomever. And our pastor at that time, Karen Olivito, took a brave, courageous, prophetic step and performed the first gay marriages in the United Methodist Church and the first gay marriage in this sanctuary. It took place here. It didn't change the world in one instant. We're not there now. But it was like planting seeds and mixing yeast into the dough. The faithful actions of a few are like that. And actually, not just their faithful actions, but all of our faithful actions. We all live lives of quiet integrity. We all witness to our hope. We all speak of our values. We all pray for the day we hope to see. We all are planting seeds and mixing yeast. And it's not going to come tomorrow or the next day or even the next year, but I would wager that 5 years from now, things will be markedly different in the United Methodist Church and in the state of California and in the country. And I would wager that 20 years from now, things will be significantly different. And I would bet you that 50 years from now, most of us won't be around, some of us will, but 50 years from now, people are going to look back and say, what were they worried about? But 50 years from now, people will be planting other seeds and addressing other needs and other problems. To what shall we compare the reign of God? It is like a woman who mixes yeast into a lump of dough until the whole loaf is leavened.